WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Today's first guest, Bill Hader, just hosted Saturday Night Live, returning to the late-night sketch series where he was a regular for years. And he just launched a new comedy series on HBO called Barry, in which he plays a hitman who stumbles on a potential new career as an actor. On SNL, Hader earned 3 Emmy nominations for his versatility as a performer, playing everyone from New York City nightclub correspondent Stefan to Italian talk show host Vinny Vedici. But on Barry, which premiered last Sunday, Hader doesn't even think about acting, until he follows Ryan, his next assigned target as a paid assassin, to his acting class. As Barry explains to his handler, played by Stephen Root, something happened there.
Look, something really, really cool happened, okay?
Okay.
I followed Ryan yesterday, and he went to this theater to take an acting class, and I ended up doing a scene with him from True Romance.
True Romance is a movie.
Yeah, it's L.A. theater, so I guess all the scenes they do are from movies. Point is, I was really good. And afterwards, I hung out with all of them.
Them?
The acting class, and they're super nice.
The whole class, including the guy you were supposed to burn?
Ryan Madison, yeah. No, he's a great dude. And I don't know, they just made me feel really good about myself, you know? And you know how you and I talk all the time about my purpose?
You think acting could be your purpose?
I don't know. I just feel really motivated right now or something. Like, it made me feel really good.
Okay, but what about what we do together, Barry?
Well, you know, they told me a very small percentage of actors actually make a living acting, you know, so most of them have day jobs. So I just figured, you know, I do night hits or something.
Sit.
Oh.
Okay? Now, Barry, acting is it's a very face-forward type of job. It's a direct conflict being someone who anonymously kills people. You want to have a hobby or something you could take up? Painting.
Yeah.
Hitler painted. John Wayne Gacy painted. It's a good, solid hobby. Never got in the way of what they were doing.
These are professional actors, and they're the real deal, and they say I got something.
No, I get it, but I think you got to think this thing through. I mean, you want to go out there and try to burn a guy and have him say, hey, there's the guy from the chicken commercial.
I don't know if I do commercials.
Barry, when you decided to do this for a living, you close the door and being able to do anything else. You're a killer, Barry. You kill the bad guys.
Yeah, but this Ryan guy wasn't a bad guy. He lent me a book. He's...
Stop thinking. Kill Ryan. These Chechens are the scariest people I've ever worked with, and they're talking about taking you off this job.
Off the job?
God, I'm sorry, but I don't feel like dying over some wannabe actor.
Terry spoke to Bill Hader in 2012, just after he got the first of his 3 Emmy nominations as a performer on Saturday Night Live. Here he is in a sketch from that show, a trailer for a pretend movie, with Hader providing the voices of both the announcer and one of the film's stars, Alan Alda.
This Friday, from the makers of Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve, comes the story of the whole world coming together on one night to celebrate the apocalypse.
You know, I love this whole Armageddon thing, you know, brimstone and hellfire, you know. Just the other day, I strangled a guy for some flashlight batteries.
Starring literally thousands of your favorite celebrities.
That's Bill Hader as the announcer and as Alan Alda in that trailer from Saturday Night Live. So how did you start doing Alan Alda?
That is such a good question. I think Lauren would love it if I came in and was like, I got a really good Robert Pattinson or something, you know, somebody. But instead I'm like, you know, I was watching Trouble in Paradise. I think I could get Herbert Marshall really well. And someone who's alive and working now, you know. So Alan Alda was like the closest because I'm like, he's in Tower Heist. He's in Wonderlust. He's still working. He's Alan Alda. I mean, he's a national treasure, you know. That came from watching Crimes and Misdemeanors with my wife. And I just started doing it, watching the movie, because he's so funny in that movie. And I was just doing it while we were watching the movie and again, like John Mulaney, she was like, oh, you should do that on the show. And I was like, oh, really? And so we did it in a, again, another sketch that Colin Jost wrote. It was audition tapes for Back to the Future, and it was Alan Alda auditioning for the role of Biff, the bully. And he was like, hey, why don't you make like a tree and get out of here, you know? I really love this. This is such a great, great script. And so we thought that was just really funny, and that he's very nice. And that he's such a nice, gregarious guy, and very complimentary. So yeah, that I, and then one time John Mulaney and I tried to write a thing with Alan Alda. I will, this was what it was called in the sketch, because there was the, that show out with William Shatner called the, you know, S expletive, my dad says, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So we had my roommates, a blank horse, an effing horse, and with Alan Alda, and it was him with his, you know, I got this horse for a roommate, and, and it was him like trying to have a date, and he would come home and go, oh, well, these horses in the house, you know, it was like, and no one laughed. We did it at the Wednesday table read, and it played to silence. It was one of those things where we were doing it, and I'm doing it, and you can hear people, like, you know, folding their legs, you know, crossing their legs and, like, digging in their pockets to check their cell phone. You know, you can actually hear it. Like, it was really bad.
So as we heard in the trailer for Apocalypse, you know, you were the announcer. You do so many announcer voices. Were there announcers that you used to do impressions of as a kid, or that you especially enjoyed or thought were great or ridiculous on TV?
No, that's a really good question. I always grew up with people that I didn't know their names. Actually, you know what? Interesting enough, Maya Rudolph, her husband is Paul Thomas Anderson, the filmmaker, and his dad was Ernie Anderson. And Ernie Anderson was the voice of ABC growing up, like the Love Boat,
yep.
You know what I mean? And like America's Funniest Home Videos. And like, so he was a guy I remember growing up with. And I didn't realize that until Paul was talking about him. He was like, oh, my dad was this guy, Goulardi. And I was like, oh, wow. And I went on YouTube and went, oh, that's your dad, you know?
He was
like,
a horror TV movie host.
Yeah, yeah. And just being like kind of an overall geek for stuff, just started devouring all that, you know, just going in and, you know, finding all the, you know, Ernie Anderson stuff. And he was really funny and interesting. And so, yeah, he was a guy that I, without consciously doing it, I would do that like at school. You know, I would try to be doing those kind of voices. Another guy, to be honest, full Harley ripping off is Phil Hartman. You know, he was the guy that I really liked on the show because he could do that. You know, he could be the announcer. He could be the lead in the sketch, like on Frozen Caveman Lawyer. That was one of my favorite SNL sketches of all time. That was one I would do at school. I would walk around and do that in science class, like this photosynthesis. You know, I would like, you know, try to do that voice, but like at nine, you know, it didn't really sound right. He could be the lead in the sketch, but he also could be the dad. And, you know, those Matt Foley sketches where Chris Farley was the motivational speaker, he would be the dad and completely committed and engaged. And I remember my dad saying it to me, like, yeah, everybody's laughing at Chris Farley, but look at Phil Hartman. I like watching Phil Hartman. And so, yeah, I feel like I took that approach when I got to the show.
So in addition to all the announcers you do a lot of game shows. Do you watch the Game Show Network just to get inspiration?
I don't know. No, I don't. I don't. Those, you know what the funny thing is? I will say Vince Blake, the one game show host, Simon Rich, Marika Sawyer, and John Mulaney have written these game shows like What's That Name? I don't know if you remember that, where we did that where it was someone would come out. And you would say, you know, he's a star of Ocean's 11. And they'd be like, George Clooney. I'm like, that's right. You know, $15 for you. And then it's like, all right. And then, well, she starred in Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts. That's right. $20 for you. And then I go, all right, now, for $10 million, who is this? And it's like, hey, I'm your doorman. I say hello to you every day. What's my name? And it was so funny. And we did it with Justin Timberlake and Lady Gaga, where Lady Gaga knew everybody's name. And Justin Timberlake didn't even remember one of his former bandmates from NSYNC's name. And like, you couldn't remember anybody's name.
What did you do for a Saturday Night Live audition?
I played Vinny Vedecci, the Italian talk show host, doing impressions. So I did Vinny Vedecci doing Al Pacino, James Mason, Peter Falk, I can't remember.
Gregory Peck?
Gregory Peck, thank you. And you know who else? That morning they called me. My audition was at 2. My manager called me at 9 in the morning and said, they want a political impression from you and it can't be George Bush. And I was like, okay. And I just went on C-SPAN and I saw the thing and it was like a live meeting of parliament and Tony Blair went up and spoke and I listened to Tony Blair and then I called my friend who's from the UK and I was like, who's this? And I did it and he was like, is that supposed to be Tony Blair? And I was like, I'll call you right back. And then I watched it some more and I go back and go, all right, now who's this? And he was like, Tony Blair. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, all right. And I hung up. So I did Tony Blair and I had to come up with some bit for him like really fast, like in my dressing room before I went out to audition. And I remember getting in the elevator for my audition and there was a guy next to me who had a backpack full of props and wigs and things. And I went, oh my God, that guy is so prepared. I have nothing. I have no props. And that was Andy Samberg. And Andy Samberg said he was looking at me going, oh, that guy has no props. He doesn't need props. And that was the first time we met. It was in that elevator.
Oh, that's great. So you did Vinny Vedecci for your audition. And, you know, he's a character you've done on Saturday Night Live. And he hosts a talk show and, you know, has on celebrities. But you once did him, and this is on YouTube for anybody who wants to see it. You once did him at Garage Comedy, which is a comedy club, I assume. And you were introduced by the MC as the replacement for a comic who had to cancel. And she said, the comic we're going to hear is actually our busboy, but he used to be Italy's top comic impressionist back in 1985.
Right.
And then you come on stage and start like speaking in Italian or faux Italian.
Yeah, it's Italian gibberish.
gibberish, yeah. And then you start doing your impression. So I'm going to play just like an excerpt of that.
Impressioni, this is Mr. Gregory Peck in To Kill the Mockingbird. Very famous race car driving movie. Scout, you are not a lady. You're a tomboy. And do you know what they call tomboys when they grow up, Scout? Bull dykes. Viziano.
So do the people in the audience know that you were Bill Hader, or did they really think that you were a busboy?
I think a lot of them knew I was. I think they knew it was a bit that I was doing.
And why were you doing it? I mean, were you testing something out?
That actually was before I was on SNL, I think.
That
was before I was even on SNL. That was my first... that was me probably working out my audition. Is that clip? Before I got SNL, I would try stuff out at live audiences, and I was in a sketch group at the time. And what happened was, quick version of a long story: Megan Mullally saw me in a show, recommended me to Lorne Michaels. Lorne Michaels came to LA and said, "I want to see you in your sketch show," the show that Megan Mullally saw. So we put on a sketch show, and in it, I did Vinny Vedecci doing impressions, kind of like what you heard, but as a sketch. So it was like I snuck an audition into a bigger sketch show. And Lauren, it went great. But Lauren, I think, kind of was like, oh, these are all his friends in the audience because the place is going crazy. They all know I'm here. So Lauren said, you got to come to New York and do it. at UCB Theater, an audience where no one knows you. So we came and did the show in New York with the sketch group, and we looked out, you know, in the audience, and there's Tina Fey and Seth Meyers and Amy Poehler, and I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, plus with a bunch of New York people going, who are these guys from LA? Because they all knew, well, look, all the SNL brass is here. Who are these people? Oddly enough, just, you know, Bobby Moynihan was in the audience, who later got on the show. And I did that, what you kind of heard, that Jenny Videcci. And I will always be thankful for this. Amy Poehler laughed really loud, and it kind of made the whole audience relax because they went, oh, Amy Poehler finds this funny. We can kind of relax. This is funny. Like, this is great.
So what were the movies you watched with your family? Did you watch old movies on TV, or did your parents like rent videos and screen movies for you that they thought that you'd love?
Yeah, my family, we were a big movie family, even more so than television or books. Like my grandparents lived next door to us when we were growing up, my mom's parents, and they were like the reading house. And then like my mom and dad's house was the movie house. And pretty much every night we would watch a movie, especially during the summer. It was like our way of relaxing. And it was all different types of films, everything from whatever was currently, like my dad would come home from the video store and go, I got Overboard, you know, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, let's watch this. To my mom going, oh my gosh, on Channel 13 is To Kill a Mockingbird or The Enchanted Forest or Gone with the Wind. I remember watching all of Gone with the Wind on a Sunday with my parents. And it was a very communal thing. It was something that my favorite kind of thing to do with, like, my wife is to watch a movie and get caught up in it. And my wife and I recently watched the film Take Shelter. I don't know if you saw that.
Sure did.
It was fantastic. And that movie was just getting caught up in it. And a very clear memory I have is watching The Hunchback of Notre Dame with Charles Laughton.
I love that film.
Watching that movie and the scene where he swings down and saves
Esmeralda.
Esmeralda. But who's the actor? Is Marino Sullivan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, Marino Sullivan, where he swings down and grabs her. And I just remember the way it's shot, you see him way in the background, and then he kind of comes right into frame and picks her up. And it's just, it's an amazing shot. And the music kicks in. And I just remember when that happened, my mom going like gasping, you know, behind me and looking and just her watching going, oh, I just love this. I love that moment, you know.
And then he climbs with her to the top of the Notre Dame Cathedral and holds her out to the like thousands of peasants who are like storming the cathedral below. And he holds her up and he says, sanctuary, yeah. Sanctuary.
Yeah. That moment is one of my favorite moments because it's a great film moment, but I just think of my mom when my mom getting like choked up and like you describing it is very much how my mom talks about it. She goes, oh, I just, you know, and he does it and you're just like, oh, it's so amazing, you know. So that feeling, you just become kind of like a junkie for it and you just go, I just want that feeling over and over again.
When I was growing up in New York, Million Dollar Movie, which was on Channel 9 in New York, used to show the same movie over and over all week. And the next week, it would be a different movie shown over and over and over. And one of the movies that they frequently showed for a whole week was Hunchback of Notre Dame. And so the first time I saw it, I thought it was like about a quarterback. I was expecting it to be like a football movie.
Yeah, the Hunchback.
I was like, too really
just
young
let
to know
me
the
play.
I want to be
He's
in this
the
game.
Hunchback. We'll never let him play. We're Notre Dame. We're a big university. We're the Fighting Irish. We can't have a hunchback. It's like, just let him play, everybody. Sorry.
So I was just, I realized, okay, so it's not about like the quarterback of Notre Dame. It's like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. But, you know, but I'll watch.
I'll play Hunchback.
I'll watch. And then suddenly it's like they're crowning the King of Fools. And there's all these like, you know, people trying to look like clowns. And suddenly you see the hunchback's face and he's so deformed. And it was, I wasn't prepared for it. I was so frightened. And I made my family like turn off the television and put on Texas Rangers, Tales of Texas Rangers instead. And then I used to like sneak a peek at it because it was so scary but thrilling. And then I'd watch the home, and then I just like, I realized what a beautiful, beautiful film it is. Were you afraid the first time you saw it?
You know what? My parents were such movie nerds that they kind of told me everything. But okay, it's got Charles Laughton, and you know, it's the first one, you know, had Lon Chaney, and you know, he did all these things to his face. But Charles Laughton, I remember my mom saying, Charles Laughton's the greatest actor who will ever live. And that's how I was introduced to the movie. So that you're seeing, the acting doesn't get better than this.
I want to thank you so much for joining with us. It's really been fun. Thanks for being with us.
It's a huge pleasure. No, are you kidding? This is huge.
It was so much fun.
Actor Bill Hader speaking to Terry Gross in 2012.